All right, so I'm going to shift gears here. For you adults, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. And we're finding out, and I'm finding out in particular, that the Ten Commandments goes beyond what we traditionally understand it to be. Last week we were talking about adultery, and we found out that even lust is breaking the seventh commandment. We were talking before about murder and how bad murder is and how most people can agree that murder is bad. But if I go to my brother and call him worthless, I've basically broken that commandment as well. So if you have a Bible, I would recommend you turn to Exodus 20, and we're going to read through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to do commandment number 8, and you're going to learn some things I can almost guarantee you've never heard before as far as the eighth commandment. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, female servant, your livestock, or even the sojourner who is in your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days will be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let's pray. Father, as we enter into this message, Lord God, I just pray you quicken to our hearts the true nature of the eighth commandment, Lord God, and help us to be able to walk in integrity before you with it. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So what's the eighth commandment? Anybody catch it? All right. You shall not steal. You shall not steal is the eighth commandment. And stealing is something that almost universally on the planet, people will tell you that stealing is wrong. Taking something that is somebody else's away from them is wrong. Pretty much categorically, everybody will tell you that that is wrong. Yet, if you were to ask anybody on the street, have you ever stolen anything? Guess what their response is going to be? Now, if anything you walk away with today, understand this. Even the people in the world, if they hear that, then they hear one of the Ten Commandments that stealing is wrong, and you ask them if they've stolen anything, and they say, yes, I have, the Holy Spirit's going to convict them of that one thing. That one commandment shows everybody they're in need of a Savior, whether they agree with, you know, honoring their father and mother, whether they agree with serving only one God, whether they agree with the commandment against adultery. If anything, they are going to say, you know what? You're right. I was wrong. And they may even say, well, that was what back when I was a child or whatever, but it still stands. They are not perfect people. And it's really because the problem of theft is a part of a dealer, a part of a deeper issue. And in Matthew 15, verse 18, it says this, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. I remember one time being confronted with this when there was a man that I literally, you know, we were three floors up and literally wanted to throw this man over a banister rail and let him drop to his death. I couldn't believe that that thought was coming out of my mind, out of my heart. But I had never been confronted with somebody that was so evil before, personally confronted in my own life. And I thought, I'm going to rid the world of this evil. But that in itself would be wrong. That would in itself would have been murder. What's coming out of my own heart? So really, the problem of theft is an inner problem of evil. And it is a testimony against ourselves of our sinful nature, of our own dreadful condition. People may argue about the other commandments, whether they've broken them or not, but most people will come clean on this one. It's kind of interesting. Not yet. We'll wait till the end. Finish it off. Add more people in the crowd. We'll do it at the end. I love these guys. Ray Comfort, Jay and I were watching a Ray Comfort video, and he's talking to people about the Ten Commandments. And he asked them, some people would give him some pushback on the Eighth Commandment, saying, well, no, I've never stolen anything. And then he would say, have you ever downloaded music off the internet that you should have paid for? And they're like, well, everybody does that. But even small things like that. And it seems like some people think, well, stealing is wrong if you steal something in a way that you could get caught. But if it's just sitting there and you're not going to get caught, then it's not bad. But anyway, the bottom line is, stealing is wrong. Most people will understand that. And most people, once they admit that, will be confronted with the fact that they are a sinful person and possibly the need for a Savior. All right, but stealing goes beyond just taking something. All right, in Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16 says this, and you got to flow with this because this is kind of interesting how this unpacks this. You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measure, a large and a small, a full and fair weight you shall have, a full and fair measure you shall have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Let me unpack this for you. What it's talking about there is dishonest scales, dishonest forms of measure. All right? Back in the day, you had a lot of times things were weighed out. And when you bought, maybe you put your silver down and your silver got weighed out. All right? So back in the day, there was an understanding early on. This is back in Deuteronomy. Early on, there was an understanding that we should not cheat one another. And in essence, when you're cheating somebody, you're really stealing from them. All right? So that's what this is talking about. It's talking about cheating people. And it tells me that God is even concerned about our business practices. God is concerned about our business practices. A matter of fact, in Proverbs 11, verse 1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. That's a pretty strong word, don't you think? Abomination? Abomination is a strong word. You know, back when I lived in Alliance, I was talking to a gentleman, and I had some scrap steel that I had to get rid of. And I asked him, hey, where would you recommend me bringing this scrap steel to you? And he said, well, you could bring it to, and he mentioned this one scrap dealer. He said, they'll give you the best price that dishonest scales will provide. So in other words, you know, on the surface, they promised a really good price, but their scales weren't good. Their scales weren't good. All right. Another area that I've experienced is Back in the day, I used to work on the back dock of a Sears and Roebuck store, and a truck driver would come in, and he and I would be talking when he was delivering this, his stuff, big semi-load of goods, and he would tell me that he always stopped about a half an hour away for his, he has to take a half hour break as part of the trip. And he had to stop for a half hour. And he stopped at this one rest stop, and they in the trucking industry, they call it Lollipop Hill for whatever, or Lollipop Mountain for whatever reason. And he was only allowed to take a half an hour. And he said, yeah, if you take more than that, you're stealing time. You're stealing time. And I thought about that, stealing time. And, you know, within business practices, there are all kinds of ways people steal time. They do personal business on company time. Maybe they steal products or stuff from work or whatever. And it's really all stealing. And in Romans 13, verse 1, it says this, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority from God, and those who that exist have been instituted by God." So a lot of times we agree with this. We agree with the idea that God has instituted things. But in Romans 13, verse 6, it also says this. "This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Now, this kind of really, really struck me when I was preparing this word, because it's kind of like, okay, I get the taxes. I know people, there are people out there that try to cheat on their taxes. A matter of fact, I remember I've been doing taxes since, my own taxes since, well, I hired somebody to do it now, but I've been doing taxes since I was 16 years old. All right? I've had an income since I was 16 years old. So I've always done taxes. And I remember back in the day when they started requiring you, if you declared certain dependents, they required you to put the dependent's Social Security number on the form. And at that time, it used to be, you know, you waited and you applied for a Social Security number sometime in your young life so that you could work. And then they started making it so people had to get their kids social, or their kids, once they were born, they got a Social Security number. And so I remember the time when they started requiring that, and it was noted how the tax revenue increased that year significantly. And suddenly, all those people that were claiming Fido and Kitty as their dependents couldn't do it any longer. All right? So you get the picture there, that that taxes are important, that we have to, you know, it's one of those things. Now, and I'm all about saving a dollar. I mean, if you do your taxes and find that there are legal exemptions you could take or whatever, go for it. It's there for you. You put a new roof on your house and you can deduct it because it's lighter colored or something, you know, so the sunlight reflects off of it. Do it. Or if you insulated your house and you could take that, you know, as a investment and an improvement on your house, do it, you know. Whatever the government allows. But that's different than cheating. That's different than cheating. And then it says more. It goes on to talk about respect and honor. Respect and honor. And I thought, wow, you know, I really got to think about that. Because sometimes I don't always honor and respect those who are in authority over me. And so, you know, that really struck me. In Romans 13, verse 8, it says this, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law." People, if we can get that love factor through, love God, love your neighbor, the Ten Commandments are going to be a breeze. If we can get that love factor through. But I'll tell you something, that love factor is hard sometimes. When the Bible says, love your enemies, and I'm looking at a guy that I really despise because of his evil intent, I'm like, wow, that's really hard to love. But you know what? God commands us, because that guy can repent, turn his life over to Jesus Christ, and the foe can become a friend, right? That's a possibility. So as in all the commandments, love is the key here. It says in Romans 13, 9 through 10, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up with this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So those are areas I would have never even considered about when it's talking about thou shalt not steal. How about stealing from God? Can a man rob God? Yes, he can, evidently, because it says so in Malachi. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. This is the one area that God tells us to test him in. Test him in giving. Test him in making contributions to the Lord. So again, these are areas that normally when you think about stealing, it wouldn't be on your radar. But there it is in Scripture. I want to end with this the concept, what Jesus did with the eighth commandment. Now, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus talking to a multitude of people and saying things like, you have heard, but I say, you've heard this, but I say. And it was like he took all these traditions of man and these forms that people were doing externally and put them on a heart level. And I'll bet you that there was a lot of people squirming that day sitting on that mount. There's a lot of squirming going on because people were looking at the religious authorities of the day who were seemingly keeping the Ten Commandments, and they themselves were looking at it saying, wow, I can't be like that guy, but realizing that sometimes the religious leaders weren't right on themselves. And then Jesus brought things on a heart level to the point where I can't imagine anybody walked away from that sermon not being cut to the heart and saying, wow, I need to make some changes. Man looks on the external, but God looks on the internal. So Matthew 5, verse 42, this is what Jesus said. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. And this is Jesus' take on the eighth commandment. So to God, just not stealing does not fulfill the eighth commandment. God wants us to be generous. You know, a lot of people, everything has a price tag on it, right? A lot of people, you know, hey, I'll do this, but it'll cost you money or whatever. I remember one time, it even happened at a church. I remember an alliance where this guy was painting this one building, and he had a compressor, an air compressor for a spray gun, and he asked them if he could plug it into the church's exterior outlet, and they said, yeah, but we want some money. It was like, you know, it was really a bad testimony. But, I mean, that's some people's mindset. Everything has a dollar figure on it. Actually, it happened to us one time. We were doing a roof for this one lady in a poor section of town. And one of her neighbors had a more modern house. And the guy from that neighbor, that neighbor came over to us when we were getting set up to do the roof. And he said, hey, if you need anything, I'm your man. Just you know, let me know whatever you need. Well, we started early in the morning, and we didn't have any power for our compressor. Well, he said he was, you know, he was good with, you know, whatever we need. So we plugged in. He had a wall outlet. We plugged in, and he read us a riot act when he got up that morning. It was like, hey, you said anything we could do. But anyway, our bad, I guess. All right. But I've said it before. We're all volunteers here. All right? We are, you know, nobody's seeking payment for anything they do. The things that happen, you know, we look around us. You know, it was so funny because I was looking at the picture that Ryan put up earlier, and I remember the walls that were paneling, and now they're painted. And I remember the pews, and now they're gone. And look how far we've come because of volunteering, because of your generosity. And that's what God's talking about in the eighth commandment. Matthew 5, verse 43 through 45 says this: "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Listen to this: "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." So God allows the sunshine, S-U-N, the sun, to shine on righteous and unrighteous. He doesn't show favoritism. We got sunlight going on right now. Praise God for that. I hope it warms up for tonight or for this afternoon. I hope that sun stays out and stays strong. But that said, people who hate God will enjoy that sunlight as well. Okay? So it says there, sons of God. I want us to unpack this mentality of being a son of God, because that's how God treats his enemies. He shows no favoritism. That's how God treats his enemies. And that's how we should be. I like how it puts it in Ephesians 4:28. "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands," listen to this, "so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Now, I call this principle putting off and putting on principle. It works in a lot of different areas where you have a bad habit, you stop doing that bad habit, but you don't just stop the bad habit. You replace it with a good habit. All right? So he's saying here, stop stealing. But that's not all. Stop stealing, and in addition, work so that you may give. And that's Jesus' take on the eighth commandment. Work so that you may give. God wants us to be a generous people. So if you're a thief today, the cure, if you will, is to get a job, make money, and start giving. All right? All right. And that is shown in the very first story we read, the story of Zacchaeus. The story of Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Well, that wasn't a requirement. Jesus didn't say you had to do this to follow me. He volunteered it. He is giving half of his wealth away to the poor. That's generosity. "And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." That's making restitution. You ever hear about restitution? It's kind of a lost concept these days, where if a kid is caught stealing a candy bar, his dad would march him down to that store and say, "Okay, you're washing the window, or you're raking the leaves for the guy, or whatever. You're going to make restitution." You know? That's kind of a lost concept today. But Jesus' response affirms the change of heart here when he says, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." And that's the calling he places on us as well. to seek and save that which is lost. However he unpacks that for us, some of us will be doing Light Up Louisville tonight. We'll be seeking and hopefully saving some that are lost. Maybe there's different ways that you do that. That's okay. God created us all differently. We all have different positions in the body. But the heart is to gather in the harvest for his kingdom. Amen? Father God, I just thank you for your word, Lord God. I just pray that you'd bless it to our hearts, Lord. I just pray you'd seed it in our hearts, Lord God, that we would walk away here today seeing ways that maybe we can improve upon in our lives. Lord God, guide us and direct us this day. And Lord, we pray a special blessing on the Light Up Louisville event tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. If anyone has any need of prayer, please come forward and I'll pray with you. Otherwise, we're going to be eating. Give the ladies about 15 minutes to get things set up down there. We'll see you down there and enjoy food and fellowship together. God bless you.